As we bear witness this day to the installation of Pastor Amy, may we hear Christ's call on our journey for the sake of doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with our God, Jesus, our Savior and friend. Revive justice through your living waters, God of all creation and possibility. Grow our loving kindness through your living waters, Spirit of life and love. Engage our humbleness as we walk through your living waters. People of God, we gather in faith, hope, and with the fulfillment of our Lord's resurrection.
Together let us both call as we sing our praises unto the Lord.
O come, let us sing to the Lord.
Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation.
The grace of Jesus Christ, our Savior, the reconciling love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, you gave the holy apostles many gifts and commanded them to feed your flock. Inspire all pastors to proclaim your word diligently, and your people to receive it willingly, that finally we may receive the crown of eternal glory through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Am I a God nearby, says the Lord, and not a God far off? Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long will the hearts of the prophets ever turn back? Those who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, they plan to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, just as their ancestors forgot my name for Baal. Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let the one who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, let light shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in a body the death of Jesus, so that in the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to the death of Jesus for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It's all fun and games until you have to drive a van load of prostitutes to Venice Beach. You heard me correctly. When I had been in California for my internship all of 2 weeks, my supervising pastor declared that I, born and raised in the suburbs of Minneapolis, would be driving a 14-person van full of prostitutes to Venice Beach through Los Angeles traffic from San Bernardino, a place that sounds nice to Midwesterners, but is well known to Angelenos and Californians as the armpit of America. A vanload of prostitutes is, by and large, an improvement over San Bernardino itself. And these ladies, all of whom lived in a supportive housing program that we ran, were all HIV positive. Through a grant from HUD and the state of California, the parish that I served would buy rundown houses for a dollar, renovate them, and move in people who, for whatever reason, were HIV positive. Many of them had acquired HIV through needle sharing, but some of them through human trafficking. The requirement for their free rent was that they work with social workers to make sure they were med compliant and participate in group check-ins on their health and mental status. The 14-person van, as large as the Titanic, had to be picked up at the rental car place in San Bernardino by myself and their social worker, a born-again evangelical Christian named Clara, who was from Nigeria and was minor royalty, and was able to channel Jesus by raising her hand in the air, precisely the kind of thing that makes Lutherans nervous. You laugh because it's true. Clara would accompany us to Venice Beach since she was the caseworker for the vanload of prostitutes, a job that at times made her face some realities that were in stark contrast to the Jesus she was able to channel through her upraised hands. Sometimes you wonder what happened to your life. Precisely the question I was asking myself in my head as for 2 hours on the 10 into LA, the prostitutes were discussing the benefits of Sunny Delight over orange juice, if any of them had heard of some strange vegetable called an avocado, and did you know you cannot return your cell phone to Walmart if it gets run over by a car? Clara sat patiently in the front seat as we made our way on the 10 at a standstill pace and would occasionally say things like, "Jesus, Prince of Peace, make this traffic give way like the Red Sea." When it would move, even a couple feet, she would say, "Praise Jesus, praise Jesus." We're not in Minneapolis anymore. Eventually, we made it to Venice Beach, where 1967 had never ended, and the ladies spread out towels and played in the Pacific Ocean. For lunch, I located a deli and got 15 chicken salad sandwiches for lunch. Off they went, all of them dying, to have a day where they could forget about dying. As I dozed off on my towel, hearing only distantly the sound of their laughter on the beach. Things happen on beaches sometimes. And today we are presented with Jesus and Peter on a beach in a lesson about hospitality, specifically about feeding people who, like the disciples, seem to have found themselves on the other side of the tomb, not totally sure how or why they have escaped the grip of death. Jesus' instructions to Peter are clear. Feed people. If you love Jesus, you will feed people. An Easter redemption that is accomplished by Jesus' resurrection is lived into for Peter and us by the very real nourishment that comes in food of all kinds, feeding people at the table of grace with bread and wine that are Jesus himself, feeding people in a food pantry, feeding people when they get it and when they don't. Feeding people when they are grateful and when they don't care about somebody named Jesus. So today, as you welcome your new pastor, I wonder if you might imagine with me today that Christianity is table service. I have been told by Amy that her job description is not totally clear. No emails about that on Tuesday. Outreach, vaguely, but a work in progress that will find form and shape as she lives among you. Not surprisingly, the vows that every pastor makes at their ordination have to do with the table, to preside at the table, to handle mysterious and fearful things at the table, mostly people's lives, to expand the table outward through open doors, to serve from the table, to be grounded at the table, to realize that the table is slightly dangerous because it is there that God has promised to meet us in Christ Jesus. And if God can meet us at this table, what is to say that other tables, if perhaps not quite as holy as this one, are not also an extension of God's welcome, able on their own to hold little bits of heaven? I know that all of you are scholars on Martin Luther, and that you read his works in medieval German every night before you go to bed. And so, as you know, Luther believed that both God and the real church were hidden. God is only revealed, and this is a fancy Latin phrase that you can throw around at the reception afterwards. God is only revealed as the Deus Revelatus, showing up in the most unlikely of places only when and if he chooses to reveal himself. Similarly, the church, the real church, is only where the church suffers, where its table service to the world requires sacrifices that dance on the edge of danger, and that could, if things get out of hand, end in ways for which there is no written church council policy. If you don't believe this, you can simply ask the Pharisees, who by and large always had their undies in a bunch, about who Jesus was eating with. You see, you don't know what is going to happen at the Holy Table or other tables when you start feeding people. Hungry people will come, and they are needy, really needy. I can tell you as a pastor, needy, needy, needy. They are needy in many, many ways. Often high maintenance kinds of ways. Most terrifying for Lutherans is that such people, perhaps the hidden God, are generally not grateful. They just don't realize how much our well-intended charity has done for them, or how much those tables cost, or whose name that is on the memorial plaque, or that they shouldn't show up in the church parking lot high on drugs. But are not such people precisely the lambs that Jesus tells Peter to feed? Peter himself, in case you hadn't noticed, was far from perfect. And if indeed the Christian witness, both the pastor's job and the person who has been sitting in the pew in this congregation for 50 years, is in fact table service, then we must be more dedicated to Jesus' mission of table service than any well-ordered ecclesiastical procedure. If you want, you can delude yourself into believing that the lambs and sheep that Jesus is talking about today were clean and never irritating and always perfect. They weren't. And Jesus says, feed them anyway. The table service of a living Christian faith is food for the broken. And no food on this side of the empty tomb, be it at the holy table or other tables, is a reward for the righteous or those who have it all together. Luther said, and this, dear pastor, is a good place to begin your job description, that is table service. We are all beggars. This is true. I'm the only pastor you ever know that slept at Venice Beach. I took a snooze there that afternoon and woke up to all the ex-prostitutes sitting on their towels. Some were soaking in the warmth of the sun, some were playing cards, others listening to music, and others trying to figure out what an avocado was. Their chicken salad sandwiches had long been gobbled up, and their stories, whatever stories that had gotten them to that beach that day, and I have no doubt that some of them would break your heart. Could be forgotten, if only for that afternoon. Everyone, you see, is dying. And everyone, most especially those who do not seem it, are being raised up in the all-powerful sweep of Easter grace. The hidden church, so often, almost always, the very thing for which we have been looking, or that is standing right in front of us. Table service that day was cheap sandwiches bought at the deli, the good news, some rest from troubles. The church that day, like for Peter, happened on the beach, over some food. The thing for which we look has been in plain sight. The only thing that has, realistically, the power to ground our lives in honorable goodness and to complete our searching. I laid back on my towel and covered my eyes in the hot California sun that makes Midwesterners run for their lives. And as I dozed off again, I could hear Clara, the The born-again Nigerian social worker next to me sitting on her towel saying under her breath, "Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ, be praised." Amen. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Having been authorized by the church to install the Reverend Amy Claire Kinsley, our co-worker in the gospel as associate pastor and director of outreach, I now ask for certification of this call.
After prayerful deliberation, we, the people of St. John's Lutheran Church, have called Amy Claire Kinsley as our associate pastor and director of outreach. I present her and this letter certifying the call.
A reading from John. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained."
A reading from Matthew. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of age."
A reading from 1 Timothy. Set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Attend to the public reading of Scripture, to exhorting, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you through prophecy with the laying on of hands by the council of elders. Put these things into practice. Devote yourself to them, so that all may see your progress. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and your hearers.
Amy, in the presence of this assembly, will you commit yourself to this new trust and responsibility in the confidence that it comes from God through the call of the church?
I will, and I ask God to help and guide me.
Will you preach and teach in accordance with the Holy Scriptures and with the confessions of the Lutheran Church? Will you carry out this ministry in harmony with the constitutions of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America?
I will, and I ask God to help and guide me.
Will you be diligent in your study of the Holy Scriptures and in your use of the means of grace? Will you love, serve, and pray for God's people, nourish them with the word and sacraments, and lead them by your own example in faithful service and holy living?
Will, and I ask God to help and guide me.
Will you give faithful witness in the world that God's love may be known in all that you do?
I will, and I ask God to help and guide me.
Almighty God, who has given you the will to do these things, graciously give you the strength and compassion to perform them.
Amen.
People of God, Will you receive Amy as a messenger of Jesus Christ, sent to serve all people with the gospel of hope and salvation? Will you regard her as a servant of Christ and a steward of the mysteries of God? Will you pray for her, help and honor her for her work's sake, and in all things strive to live together in peace and unity of Christ?
We will, and we ask God to help and guide us.
Amy, the office of Associate Pastor and Director of Outreach is now committed to you in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete in everything good, so that you may do God's will, working in you that which is pleasing in God's sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amy, you have been called to be among us and to proclaim the good news.
You have been called to be among us to preside at the Lord's Supper.
Amy, you have been called to be among us to baptize, to teach, and to forgive sins.
You have been called to be among us to send us out into the world as God's people.
People of God, I present to you the Reverend Amy Kinsley, your Associate Pastor and Director of Outreach. Let us welcome her in the name of Christ.
Pastor Amy, I give you this beautifully wrapped gift, which you know I did not wrap.
Oh, you
should. I invite you just to keep it looking beautiful, because inside you will only find this note that says, "Please accept this gift of vestment of your choosing. Some pastor did not get the online order going in time for it to be here today. With God's richest blessings from your congregation, St. John's Lutheran Church, Sacramento, California." You will be able to wear it. You'll have to come back to see.
So I was going to say, I was told by Pastor John, who may have, oh no, there he is. Pastor John was like, oh, they didn't tell me when I was doing mine that there was like in the bulletin speech, you know, so I was warned. What's that? It's starting, yeah, I know. So at least it's starting the same. And so thank you to everyone here. I have a few, you know, I'll try not to be too much like the Academy Awards. And then like Ryan can just play me out if, you know. First, I want to thank colleagues from the Sierra Pacific Synod who are here, and those emeritus pastors and pastors from the congregation who are here. And other colleagues who have joined us, especially Pastor Ben from Chico and Pastor Katie Grinberg from the Synod and Dean Kirsten Moore. Thank you for being here for that. My friends who have come, Courtney's back there in Carolina, and so thank you. It's nice to have some of these like Brooklyn connections right here in Northern California, so I'm glad that they're here. And especially for Patrick, where are you? Oh, back. You're still back there. For coming all the way from the Twin Cities and preaching and supporting me along the way. So thank you to the call committee who were in service today, but also helped start this journey off. I'm very appreciative of that. And anyone who helped in worship today, especially for Sarah, who stepped in as verger, and for Stephen and Alicio, who helped all along the way put everything together and did a lot of work. So thank you. And then especially to Zaid, who decided to make this journey with me and took a leap of faith on this new adventure. So thank you, people of St. John's, for welcoming both of us and for starting these first 3 months off amazingly, and I'm excited about what we will do together with God's help. So.